is 11:06 a.m. Central Time, Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. Jake Creek with you here on the Power Hour. Glad you could join us. Lots happening today. By the way, here's a little incentive to do your ordering from the Power Mall. All orders up until December 22nd are going to be entered to win a free 30-day supply of OptiVita Complete Essentials Whole Plant Nutrition Mix. That's about a $90 retail value. And no, there's no trading it for what's behind door number three. It is a versatile supplement fueling your body with healthy and complete nutrients, which is, of course, as you know, the best way to boost your immune system, support digestive health, increase energy, and support nutrient absorption. Plus, if you visit the Power Mall, you're also going to get 10% off Willard Water products this week. That's right. That's the 16-ounce Willard Water Clear, the Water Dark, and the Topical Aloe Gel from Willard Water. And also, we have a BOGO going on during the month of December from all the Tranquil products. Tranquil, you can get buy one, get one free while your supplies last. Our guest on the show today, I'm just cutting to the chase real quick here, Hans von Spakovsky. Interesting name, isn't it? He's going to be on to discuss the deeply contentious 2020 election fraud. Alleged election fraud? What can I say? Everybody feels a little disenfranchised these days, don't they? We'll be joined at noon, during the noon hour, from Ben Swan from Sovereign Media. Ben Swan is the founder of the Truth and Media Project. You know, here's the thing. If you dial up any media outlet, it doesn't matter what it is, could be the media outlet on TV, could be the mainstream media, could be Fox, they all have either a political pundit or some one of their fellow learned media journalists that has been researching the subject, and they all get on there and pontificate. That's right. They basically spew their vomit on the air, and you as a listener or viewer have the choice as to whether or not you want to believe it. So the thing is, when we're talking about truth in media, you know, we're going to try to get in there with Ben and do some real serious digging into what is really going on and what we're supposed to believe and not believe. Where's the truth? Everybody's looking for it. If you're a truth seeker like me and a constitutionalist like me and you love America like me and you, many of you took an oath like me. And the reason I bring up taking an oath when I was in the service, and you don't have to thank me for my service, I did it because I love this country and also because my father insisted I at least give it a try because he was in during World War II. And the interesting thing about that is if you look at today's date on your calendar, it is December 7th, which is the 80th anniversary of when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. That was a morning that, of course, Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, a day that will live in infamy. That's right. And this was carried out prior to a declaration of war. And if you really get in there and start realizing history and what it was, what did Roosevelt know prior to the Japanese attacking? Did they actually know? Did the U.S. not want to enter into World War II, even if Churchill begged them to do it? I mean, what does the history books actually share? These are things, it's always a conspiracy theory somewhere. And even though the director of the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency, Kelly McKeag, calls this anniversary a truly momentous occasion because it is 80 years after we were in one of the biggest wars this country's ever been in. And it's an actual war because everything else after that was pretty much deemed a police action. Korea, Vietnam, and, you know, during Vietnam, most of us didn't even know what we were doing there. So it's just, you know, one of those things, you know, the difference between Korea and Vietnam is in Vietnam, they had access to drugs and a lot of them, and a lot of the GIs were doped up half the time. The Thai stick was really killer over there at the time. You know, these are things on the dark side that nobody wants to know. But then again, hey, we had Agent Orange and look how many veterans got poisoned by that. We had the movie Jacob's Ladder, which came out of that. What was CIA doing? Experimenting with MK Ultra and doping up these GIs to see if they would kill each other in the field. I mean, what a great way to test subjects. And you have to wonder about all this as far as testing subjects. That kind of equates, you know, fast forward all that time to today. And we all seem to be part of a giant project to test people's immune systems with an emergency use authorization type gene therapy. yes, I know. You said, nope, there he goes. Dave's going after it again. Yes, that's right. Dave is. Amongst the many news stories here, you should know that there is a lot of controversy in much of the stuff that's been happening. We have obviously learned that, you know, Chris Cuomo is now trying to bury the president of CNN and telling everybody, yes, Jeff Zucker knew. He knew I was out there fishing for information about all of those women who were coming after my brother. yeah. And so do we care? I mean, look at CNN's ratings and MSDNC's ratings. They are plummeting. This is why Gutfeld is number one in primetime television, even if it does air at 10 o'clock. He is colorful, let's put it that way, and it is kind of funny watching him humiliate Kat Timpf every time you turn around. But, you know, while people like to watch that on a more serious note, you have to wonder what really is going on behind the scenes. And I'm talking about one of the stories that popped up on the Epoch Times this morning. Corporate insiders, now you got to ask yourself, how do they know these things? How do they know to sell record levels of stock and dump their stock? How do they know this? I mean, we're talking about the biggest names like Jeff Bezos, $9.97 billion, Elon Musk, $10 billion, the Walton family. You know, then I'm not talking about Sue Ellen and John Boy. I'm talking about the Waltons of Walmart fame, $6.18 billion in Walmart stock. Facebook liquidated, Zuckerberg liquidated $4.47 billion. Other big names were on the list. Google founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin sold each approximately $1.5 billion of their Alphabet shares. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella got rid of close to half his company's stock for roughly $285 million. You got to wonder why they're doing this. What do they know that we don't know? Economic collapse is asking that very question. What do they know that we don't? If stock prices are going to continue soaring into the stratosphere, like many in the mainstream media are saying, well, the insiders obviously have knowledge something's going to happen. So they're dumping stocks like there's no tomorrow. And so, you know, while everybody's thinking, oh, well, the stock market going up, we're going to reap some profits. Well, on the other hand, if a colossal market crash is coming in 2022, I mean, the rumors are out there that they're talking about Bitcoin, and somebody apparently lost $50 billion in Bitcoin and just won a $100 million jury award down in Miami, as Law.com and the Daily News down in Miami is reporting. So you gotta wonder, you know, why is everybody banking on ether? And the reason I say ether is like something you breathe that makes you go to sleep, or at least at YouTube. Now they give you propofol, Michael Jackson's favorite. But the problem is that when you have ether, which is a gas, gas like evaporates, right? So does ether. Ether is basically what we call Bitcoin. Ether is in the ozone. Ether floats around in the atmosphere, and it can only be retrieved using a computer retrieval system that is programmed to retrieve Bitcoin. And not only that, but even though this stuff is floating around in the ether, all it takes, and this is really amazing that people haven't thought of this, they're trying to do a cashless society. And I'm talking about the elitist government and on all the henchmen in the World Economic Forum. They seem to think that ether is it. Well, guess what? If you cripple the entire system with an EMP, with electromagnetic pulse, and you take out all the electricity, what can't run? The computers. Unless they have a backup generator stored underground, is there going to be any way to back up ether? There will be no way, and if you've got all your money and all your stock or whatever it is, all your assets parked in Ethernet, in ether, in Bitcoin, you could, in the event of an EMP attack, lose all of it with no way to recover it. Because if it fries the computer system, don't you think it's going to fry the data? And even if all this data was stored, radically stored, how do you know that nothing connected to it that isn't protected isn't going to get wiped out too? These are things that you need to think about. All of this stuff could be potentially purged. And speaking of purge, an LA detective has stated that Los Angeles, according to RT, a police detective there is warning tourists to stay out of the city, saying that they're going to be unsafe. I mean, you remember when it wasn't safe to go to Florida at one time. It's like you might as well have worn a T-shirt that says, I'm an unarmed German tourist. Because you were a target. And they would literally, when people would pull over to roadside rest areas, there were people waiting in the bushes to hold you up and steal your car and steal your money and whatever the case may be. Possibly even commit murder. But this detective is saying, we're telling people don't visit because we don't think we can keep you safe right now. This is Jamie McBride on Fox News. The city, he added, is like the movie The Purge, a popular horror film set in a U.S. scene where crime is legal for a set period of time every calendar year. I mean, isn't that insane? The difference between the movie and the city, however, is that L.A. criminals have 365 days to run riot, McBride said. Like other numerous critics, McBride, also director of the L.A. Police Protective League, points to Prop 47 as key to California's laid-back attitude towards crime. I don't know what these people are thinking. The liberals, you know, it's like a wolf or, you know, a coyote that gets his leg caught in a trap. Well, you know, they have no other choice but to stay there until they're apprehended or chew off their leg to get away. The 2014 measure made theft below $950 a misdemeanor. The attempt at criminal justice reform, I mean, if you've got thousands of people hung out here on charges of misdemeanors, I mean, it's going to backlog the system. So the Justice Department in California pretty much said, well, we'll just reform the system. And basically what they've done is fueled home invasions and smash and grab robberies. As most criminals know, they're going to get let out not long after being caught, usually with little to no bail set. I mean, it's according to McBride, it's almost safer to hang out with Alec Baldwin on a movie set than to go shopping in L.A. right now. Yes, I know. Some of you find that humorous. California Governor Gavin Newsom, who McBride says needs to go, expressed frustration last week with a string of headline-grabbing smash-and-grab robberies. See, they no longer call it looting. The liberal elite now have to call it smash-and-grab. Looting is just, well, that's Hurricane Katrina days. That's not now. You know, he's basically saying that police need to arrest him. Prosecutors need to prosecute him, and judges need to hold him accountable for breaking the law. You know, according to the Democrat governor, these are not victimless crimes, and I have no empathy for these criminal elements. And of course, as you know, the White House, through Jen Psaki, blamed the recent rash of smash and grab thefts on the COVID-19 pandemic. Bullpucky, I say to that. Our number is 844-769-2944. If you feel a little disenfranchised this morning and you want to talk to me, the whole idea behind social intercourse is that you do it with your ear to the phone. That's how it's done. And in order to do it, you got to call that toll-free number, 844-769-2944. Am I saying that too fast? You know, it's on our website, thepowerhour.com. We have all those numbers and contact info, especially the Power Mall. We have all that information posted right there. You can just click on those links. It'll give you what you need. You know, we like to get the truth out there because the truth is out there. It's just up to you to find it. But if you got something to say this morning, the lines are open. The moronic variant, which is the anagram for Omicron, may cause less severe disease, according to a report out of Africa. Data from South Africa, where the variant was first identified last month, is saying that most of the hospitalized patients admitted with COVID did not need oxygen, which is a contrast earlier in the pandemic. The South African Medical Research Council said in their new report of the 42 patients at a COVID-19 ward inside one of the hospitals in Gauteng province, the epicenter of the latest wave on December 2, 70% did not need oxygen and had no respiratory symptoms. So this is virtually no different than the flu. Out of the 13 patients that did require supplemental oxygen, 9 had a diagnosis of COVID. This is a picture that's not been seen in previous waves, and this is something Judy Mikovits pointed out to me a long time ago when we were having dinner, and she said, Dave, here's the thing. You gotta understand that this virus will mutate to the point where it goes into nothingness and will be less effective as time progresses. But what is the mainstream media and the government doing? They are using it to basically elicit fear. And you see, here's the thing. Our Lord God Fauci, the patron saint of Wuhan, has been criticized so much so. In fact, I even refer to him as Dr. Anthony Mengele. That's named after the notorious Nazi Dr. Joseph Mengele. Well, Lara Logan, if you have seen her on Fox, well, she has been sidelined from Fox News after doing the same thing I did and referring to Fauci as Dr. Joseph Mengele, comparing him to the Nazi doctor that was using experimental drugs on people. And see, of course, Fauci blasted Fox News, says he was astounded that the network didn't discipline Lara Logan for comparing him to the infamous Nazi doctor who worked at Auschwitz during the Holocaust. He says, what I find striking is how she gets no discipline whatsoever from the Fox network, how they can let her say that with no comment and no disciplinary action. I'm astounded by that, he said. He's the chief White House medical advisor, in case you don't know who Dr. Joseph Mengele, I mean Anthony Fauci is. And, of course, he said this on MSDNC, of course. This is, you know, they go to the mainstream media. And see, here's the, he says it's an insult to all the people who suffered and died under the Nazi regime in concentration camps. Bullpucky, I say to that. Dr. Fauci, you are like Joseph Mengele. And I have said this ever since I've been on the show. And there's a reason I say it, because this is an experimental drug, and that's what Dr. Joseph Mengele did in World War II, used experimental drugs on the Jews in those concentration camps, and you are doing virtually the same thing on not only the Jews, but all the rest of us Christians and everybody else out there in the hinterland that you have insisted we need to go take the jab. This man has no conscience and no regard for the millions of lives he's ruined. And there's enough evidence to show that Fauci was connected completely to the funding of the gain-of-function research at Wuhan. And so Logan, of course, has disappeared from the channel. She is not there for the moment. Lara Logan has talked a lot about what was going on at the border, what is happening in Afghanistan. And it's okay for Fauci to say things of any consequence at all, whether he is lying through his teeth like he did to Congress and Rand Paul. And, you know, Lara Logan's not allowed to do that. Rick is calling from the state of confusion. Rick, why are you confused?
I'm not. I just can't come up with something.
Well, thank you. I love it when the audience brings their own material.
Okay. Well, what I want to say is, people have a problem in life because they don't understand the word of God. The controversy of this world is between God and Satan. It's got nothing to do with man. Man is here to make up his mind, free will, whether you're going to follow God or follow Satan. The way to learn this is the parable of the sower. It's in three books. You read them. And when you read the parable of the sower, God tells you it's not for everybody to understand. The eyes to see and ears to hear are qualifications. So it's not for everybody to understand. And God keeps them on a stupor or slumber, however word you want to use, for their protection. Because we are coming to an end of an age. It's no more than that. Our time is about up. We've got a couple more little signs to go, and then the end will come. And let me tell you something. Because of Satan's way of running the world, he is a prince of the air. He is a god of this world. He took over in the garden. People don't understand. He planted a seed with Eve. His name was Cain. His genealogy is in Genesis 4. Adam's genealogy is in Genesis 5. And if you read them, you'll see that the names are almost identical. In fact, there's an Enoch in each one. So I believe that's why the book of Enoch was never canonized, because maybe they don't know which Enoch wrote it. But they're all talking about the fallen angels. The fallen angels and what's his, Charles or whatever was on the other day was talking about the Goyim. That's who they are, the sons of Cain. They control this world, and they got it under complete chaos, and it's just going to get worse. I can tell you the prophecy you're looking
for. Yeah, you were talking about L.A. Mazzilli, who we had on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a computer. I would love to see those videos he's got. But anyway.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call. I've got a couple other callers holding, and we're almost to the break here. So I appreciate your call, Rick. Thanks so much. Chance in West Virginia, how you doing this morning, sir?
Yes, hello, Dave. You know, your previous caller made some excellent points. People fail to see the spiritual battle. They just look at the physical. Dave, I had a call because I appreciate your show. I love your jokes. I mean, this is what we need now. Satire. We need more satire because things are so upside down that people who don't understand this, maybe they can only understand what's going on through satire. You know, that's how I'm beginning to feel. Maybe it's a little frustration on my part, but that's how I feel now at this point. Talking about that looting, you know, I say to myself, wow. Maybe the most serious crimes are jaywalking nowadays, when a policeman can't see your license plate light. I mean, these are the things that are important, not smashing and grabbing and stealing other people's products or taking their life. I mean, this is how bizarre we've come nowadays. It seems like everything is turned upside down, from sexual identity to morals to what's right to what's wrong. It's proof that I believe that we are approaching the end times mighty fast. And how do you feel about that, Dave?
Well, I appreciate your call for starters, Chance, because we're getting ready to come to the break. Chad, North Carolina, just hang on there. We're going to get to your call. We have Hans Abe von Spakovsky coming up in the next half hour talking about that deeply contentious 2020 election process. I wish I had time to take all the rest of the calls on there because they're stacking up right now. Folks, this is what it's all about. Talk radio. That means you talk too. 844-769-2944. We will be back after the break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Urban Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
It's 11:31 in the morning on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. And, of course, we're celebrating the, well, I don't know if there's really cause celebrate for the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. I mean, we remember it very well. At this point in time, all hell broke loose in Honolulu, and most of us were just hearing about it because it happened very early in the morning. I have actually been to the memorial out there at the Arizona, and I can tell you that when I was on board that boat going out into the harbor to go see the memorial, there were a lot of Japanese tourists on board, and they were very, very quiet the whole time we were on our way out there. You couldn't help. I mean, this, it was deafening out there. So, the thing that I point out, and Chance was our last caller here in the segment. We've got other callers holding. You'd asked me a question about what my take was on this whole scenario. You know, if you read a lot of the scriptures, which I'm sure you are and have, as has Rick and others, you know, it says we know not when the day nor the hour that the Son of Man shall come, but we know when he does come, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be gathered up together with him in the clouds, and so shall ever we will be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is straight out of Thessalonians. I am quoting it from memory. You can go look it up. Thessalonians 3, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians. Anyway, here's the thing. We know that there's a lot of things that talk about the signs of the end times, and L.A. Mazzilli even brought it up in the show about the apostasy. We know that this is going to happen. We know that there's a lot of design here to try to take control of us. This is one of the reasons why we have Hans von Spakovsky in with us here on the Power Hour. He is a senior legal fellow and manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. Now, for those of you who don't understand what that program is, if you haven't read up on it, they are a conservative think tank. I get all their news reports and letters and stuff. Daily Signal is part of their spinoffs. And so real important to understand. And Chad and Rita, please hold your calls because I'm going to get to you here in a second. We have a new book out. Hans does. He authored it, co-authored it with John Fund. It's called Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. And it's about 280 pages long. And I mean, literally, they have gone into most aspects of how this was done, how our election was stolen. It's really not a conspiracy theory, is it, Hans?
No, it's not a conspiracy theory. In fact, one thing we talk about in the books are proven cases of fraud. And unfortunately, there are just more of those that happen than we should want happening. And we need to take steps to try to deter that kind of fraud. It's very hard to detect after it occurs.
Well, it is. And the thing is that, you know, all of this stuff still continues to be brought up in the mainstream media. Every time I turn around, you see Stacey Abrams on there telling people we won and basically denying the fact that Brian Kemp actually won in Georgia and she didn't. And, of course, she's going to run again. And now they've got another somebody else that they put up because they don't want Kemp in office anymore. I think he's probably pretty much on his way out the door. But the thing that I think disturbs me the most is how the system of things played us using the COVID pandemic. Do you really think that's what the whole thing was by design? And could you elaborate?
Well, yeah, in fact, we talk about that in the book. Last year's election, was the culmination of all of these, frankly, unwise, reckless changes that the progressive left has wanted to make in our rules governing the election process. And what they did with the COVID pandemic was they used that as a justification for finally getting many of these changes in place. These are changes that state legislators had resisted for years because they recognized they were bad, but they used COVID as an excuse to get them in place. And, you know, what's been going on this year is that they're trying to make them permanent. And unfortunately, they're succeeding in some states like Nevada.
Yeah, I get that. And see, the thing is that this is an excuse for more mail-in ballots. And this is what I think you pretty much have pointed to as how they stole it.
Yeah, the problem with mail-in balloting is it's the easiest way to cheat in an election. In fact, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement issued a report some years ago after investigating a series of absentee ballot fraud cases in Florida, and they called absentee or mail-in ballots the tools of choice of vote thieves and people who want to steal elections. And look, I'm not going to tell you that we have massive voter fraud going on all over the country, all the time, in every election. But we do have enough instances of it that we should be concerned about it. And as the Supreme Court said in 2008, the place where it can really make a difference is in a close election. And we have close elections all the time in this country. If folks do a quick Google search, they will see that about 2 months ago, the Los Angeles district attorney indicted half a dozen individuals in Compton, California, including a city council member for election fraud in an election that the city council member who was indicted won by one vote.
Oh, my. And so this is obviously in a lot of states, I have noticed, like Texas, Florida, they have all started to pass legislation that basically makes it felony issues for trying to steer an election or submitting some sort of phony ballots and things like that, false registrations, whatnot. But this is not having, I mean, the thing, they're making such a big stink about voter ID, Hans, it would seem to me this would make every single state that was demanding that people produce an identification like you have to do for virtually everything else in life as a means to validate your vote. I mean, what's wrong with that logic?
Well, there's nothing wrong with it, and the American people don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, the polling on it is really quite something. No matter what you hear, again, from the progressive left, what you hear from people like Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer saying that requiring an ID is Jim Crow 2.0, the American people don't agree. The polling shows that Americans overwhelmingly support an ID requirement. They think it's common sense. And that is a majority, by the way, of white voters, black voters, Hispanic voters, Asian voters, and a majority of Republicans, independents, and Democrats, African Americans. A majority of them say a voter ID, of course. In fact, listen, that attitude, and again, we talk about this in the book, the attitude of the left on voter ID, I think, is patronizingly racist. Because in essence, they're saying that, for example, African Americans, why they just aren't capable of getting, for example, the free ID that every state provides that's put in an ID requirement. And I can't think of anything more racist than an attitude like that. And it's proven to be untrue. States that have put in ID requirements, like Georgia, where Stacey Abrams actually did lose the election, after their ID requirement went into place in 2008, they've seen record turnout numbers and record voter registration numbers.
But the thing is they also noticed that black people were going along with this and were in favor of it, right?
Yes, they absolutely were.
There's nothing racist about this, Hans.
No, there isn't. In fact, there was really great testimony before the U.S. House a couple of months ago this past summer when they were they were holding a hearing on another one of these bills that Democrats are trying to push through Congress for a federal takeover. We explained what that is in the book. There was great testimony from the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. He's the first African-American ever elected as lieutenant governor. And he said that the idea that African-Americans can't meet an ID requirement was not only wrong. He said it was insulting. And he's right about that.
Right. All right. Now, the thing that got me was this most recent spate of a turnabout in Virginia, where Glenn Youngkin won. And right at the very end of this thing, you can see Terry McAuliffe. Oh, they're bringing in Mark Elias. And you actually posited some dialogue about Mark Elias, because it seems like he's there every time something nefarious is about to happen or did happen. Yeah, would you agree with that?
Yeah, in fact, we have an entire chapter about him. For folks who haven't heard of him, he is basically the legal general of the left. He was behind many of the lawsuits that were filed last year. And by the way, there were more lawsuits filed last year before the election trying to change the rules than we've ever seen in any election year in American history. And Mark Elias was behind almost all of those lawsuits. And the lawsuits all were lawsuits trying to say that because of COVID, for example, Alabama should not be allowed to apply its ID requirement to voting, that states like South Carolina and Alabama should not be allowed to apply their witness signature requirement on absentee ballots. I mean, it was all these lawsuits basically intended to destroy and get rid of every safety and security protocol that states have in place for elections.
That is just amazing. All right, 844-769-2944. Chad in North Carolina. We have Hans on the phone. Hans Bukowski on the broken elections. You have any commentary on that? What are you thinking?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm fully aware of what's been happening with the lieutenant governor of North Carolina. He's come under heavy attack because of his opposition to the critical race theory and, it, frankly, pornographic material, and not just your, you know, general pornographic type material. We're talking same-sex type material being put in books, and in some cases being presented to kids in the classroom. And when he spoke out against that, he came under all kinds of horrible attacks and messages on his voicemail, calling him, you know, a hater and everything else. But what I've noticed, the biggest thing that kind of keeps me looking ahead at what's coming is everything that the left and all these different people that do all these machinations, the one thing they have in common is what I can liken to a giant fishing net. It's like they're trying to catch everybody to go along with whatever their agenda is. For instance, Judicial Watch was pointing out that some of the billionaires had funded the drop boxes in the cities, certain precincts, and it just, you know, that was, to my understanding, is totally, should have been totally illegal. It should have never been allowed in there. But these want everybody to sway a certain direction. And
okay,
I think the lockdowns go along with that.
Well, they do. And I appreciate that commentary, Chad. This, of course, in the book that we are talking about here, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote, there is a section in here on the many ways that election fraud happens. It's in Chapter 5. And there is a large section of this book devoted to that specific thing that you were talking about. So we appreciate your call. Hans, what you have any comments on what Chad just brought up?
Well, in particular, we've got an entire chapter about what he talked about on what we call Zuckerbuck. Because what happened last year, which had never happened before in a prior election, and it should have been illegal but wasn't, was that Mark Zuckerberg contributed $350 million. A couple of other liberal donors added another $100 million. Basically, they took that $450 million. They gave it to a two small, tiny nonprofit organizations that claim to be nonpartisan but aren't really. And then they basically funneled that $450 million in grants to election offices and election officials all over the country, but gave the money almost overwhelmingly only to large urban Democratic strongholds like Philadelphia, to whom they gave about $10 million. And what that money was used for, in essence, was to move the Get Out the Vote campaign of the Democratic Party, Democratic candidates, into official government offices and then use those government offices to get their vote out. And you could see how that made a big difference in turnout in places like Philadelphia to the detriment of the more rural parts of Pennsylvania and many other states that they didn't want to help. Why? But, well, because those were states that tended to vote, those are parts of the states that tended to vote for Republicans. A lot of states have now made that illegal. Florida, Georgia, Texas, Arizona all passed laws in their legislative sessions at the beginning of this year to make that kind of private funding illegal. Every state ought to do that.
Yeah, they should. And I appreciate your commentary on that, Chad. Thanks so much for calling. Now, see, Hans, I don't know if you know this or not, folks, Hans von Spakovsky served on the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity, and he's a former commissioner on the Federal Election Commission, served as counsel to the Assistant AG for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Justice enforcing federal voting rights laws, and served as a county election official administering elections in both Georgia and Virginia. So if anybody knows anything on how the way this junk goes down and knows about vote trafficking, voter registration, ranked choice voting, coercion, fraud. I mean, the thing that really got me was what they were doing at the polls the last go-round, covering up windows. Oh, yeah, we have a phony water leak. Oh, must have been in the men's journal. Everybody has to leave the building. Garbage. Nothing but garbage. Hans, what's your take on all that?
Oh, I think that was a real problem in the election last year, was exactly that. Look, transparency is essential to fair and secure elections. That's why the U.S. State Department sends American teams of observers to fledgling democracies around the world. And yet you had places like Philadelphia, again, where observers who were legally entitled to be there were thrown out of the polls. And you have to wonder, well, what was going on in there? What is it they didn't want to see? We might have an indication of that over a story that appeared about 2 months ago that got like no attention. You may not have seen this either, but 2 months ago, the U.S. attorney, acting U.S. attorney in Philadelphia, indicted a former election official in Philadelphia. She was a staffer for a city councilman, was responsible for at least three polling places for many years. You know what she was indicted for? Accepting bribes to stuff ballot boxes with fraudulent ballots in the polling places she supervised, and she did it in multiple elections for multiple Democratic candidates.
Ouch. Well, I guess, you know, what goes around comes around, right? Rita in Missouri, thank you so much for staying on the line on hold with us. Welcome to the Power Hour. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much. I have two fact points. One of them is about the Vietnam War, and the other is about the mail-in ballots.
Go for it.
Okay. First, I was a young person, and I lived in a neighborhood, and a young man came back from the Vietnam War, and he said he was always constantly on the front line defending Lady Bird Johnson's oil wells.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah, all right.
No,
that's
person,
a new one on
like me. I say, he was a young man. He lived in the neighborhood, and when he came back, he told us that story. Okay. Then on my next fact point is I found an article, and I've done a little bit of research to make sure it was real. Okay. The mail-in ballots were they made the mail-in ballots because the FBI taught the inspector generals of the post office how to spy on people.
Wow, that's a heavy allegation, Hans. What do you make of that? You've been in the mixed master of bureaucracy. What say you to that comment?
Well, look, there's a lot of problems with mail-in ballots. That's something we detail in the book. I'm not, and there's a lot of issues with things the FBI has been doing in recent years and how they've engaged in partisan investigations, like the one that basically created the hoax of Donald Trump's campaign supposedly colluding with the Russians, which we know now was a hoax. But I have to say I'm not aware of information about the FBI using the mail-in balloting process to spy on folks.
Well, now, I think I know one of the ways that Rita is possibly alluding to this, and it's because of this little thing that the banks are doing. It's called Know Thy Customer, and apparently this is filtered into the Postal Service because, I mean, how can you not go to the post office from time to time mailing letters on a regular basis, which I have seen. I've been there myself mailing out books that I've written to people who are ordering them, and I run into the same postal clerks, and they know me by name. They look at my return address. I mean, how could you not know your customer? And now the thing is what purpose would the Postal Service have for spying on people, Rita?
Well, I believe that's how they handled all the phony mail-in ballots. That's why nobody questioned it.
Interesting. Well, it's very difficult to fathom because of the fact that they have postal inspectors that nobody's complained about this. And again, Rita, thank you so much for your call. The thing is that you're looking at all of these different ways that election fraud happens. And again, we go back to chapter 5 of this book. It's called Our Broken Elections. Now, I know there's probably at least 80 plus million people out there. And I'm sure the Heritage Foundation, Hans, has done an extensive amount of research as to the number of votes that President Trump allegedly got and the manipulation of such. Am I off base as far as that figure goes? I mean, we're talking 85 plus million people that are kind of feeling a little disenfranchised.
Well, a lot of people, a lot of people have a lot of questions about last year's election. They don't trust the results. The thing is, unfortunately, we're probably never going to get an answer to what happened last year for the very reason that, look, as you know, there were numerous lawsuits filed after the election. We talk about them in the book in states like Arizona and Georgia and elsewhere. What should have happened is those cases should have gone to trial. The witnesses should have been brought in. They should have been examined, their claims they made reviewed, their credibility determined. That didn't happen. The judges dismissed every one of these cases on procedural grounds without ever getting to the actual substance of the claims being made. And so we apparently are never going to have an actual real investigation of the claims that were made, and so we're never going to really get a final answer on what happened last year.
You know, it's amazing, too, because you talk about people like Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell that were on the front lines of this whole thing, and they're getting sanctioned. This is the justice system's way of punishing people that ask questions. And I don't know, you know, you really didn't get into too much detail about it, but the thing is now, because of our limited amount of time we have here on the show in this segment, you might have some parting thoughts on ways that people can, you know, what can we do to stop this from happening the next go round? I mean, we've got 2022 coming up with the midterms. We've got this, moronic pandemic, and that's my anagram for Omicron. It's moronic. And they're trying to scare everybody into staying home and doing this same repetition of mail-in ballots again. How do we stop this? Has Heritage Foundation come up with drawn any conclusions on how we can stop this?
Well, yeah. In fact, the final chapter of the book is a whole list of recommended changes in state laws and the way states do things to try to fix many of these problems. I mean, look, the most obvious example is you need a voter ID law, and you need one not only for in-person voting, But you need to do what Georgia and Texas just did, which is they extended their voter ID requirement to absentee ballots. I mean, that's just one of the most basic ones. States also have to take a whole series of steps to clean up their voter rolls and take people off who have died or have moved to other states to avoid having people vote illegally by voting in two different states. All that can be done. And it's just a matter of getting state legislators to do it and getting election officials to work on it. And that's where grassroots activism is very, very important.
And that was very well put. The name of the book is Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I think you really, this is 280 pages of some pretty damning research, and you need to get that book, folks. There is a, the thing that you can look at, John Fun and Hans von Spakovsky spent a lot of time and energy putting this book together, and if you are not clear and concerned about a lot of things involving election fraud, you definitely need to get this book and read it. I just in the amount of time that I had to spend with the book and skim it, I mean, this is one thing. If you haven't gotten an education into what happened on November 3rd, 2020, you will by reading this book. And we appreciate you being on the show, Hans. Thank you so much for your time and being on the Power Hour. We hope to have you back again at a point in time in the future.
Thanks for having me. Be happy to be back anytime.
Sounds good. And we are at the break right now. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We're going to have Ben Swan on in the next hour with Sovereign Media, talking about truth in media. He is the founder. Hey, no better person to talk to than the one at the top. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break.
This is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Purely C, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with Olive Oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that Olive Oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.